want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about those unpopular opinions of mine. On Monday and Tuesday, I talked about sexual purity, which always reminds me of the young man that came up to me after I'd spoken on this subject, and he said, "But holy cow, lady, you gotta have sex." And I said, "You do? Where'd you get that idea?" "Not from the Bible." Well, then I talked on Wednesday and Thursday about mothers staying home instead of working. I hope I made it clear that my only purpose in broadcasting materials that may bring down the wrath of some listeners on my head is because I believe it to be the clear word of the Lord Himself. Now, you did not hear me say on Wednesday and Thursday that if you are working, you must stay home, did you? I only encouraged those who want to believe that God may show you a way as He did those who wrote. And I read you some wonderful testimonies from women who had discovered God's provision when they quit a job and took the great risk of staying home. Now, I need to remind you that Titus 2, verses 3 to 5, does tell me that I, as an older woman, have a special God-given assignment. It is to teach younger women. And what am I to teach them? I'm to teach them to love their husbands, love their children, to be pure, to be self-controlled, to be keepers at home or home workers, and to respect the authority of their husbands, in order that the word of God may not be dishonored. Now, I want to be faithful to that assignment. I'm doing my best to be faithful. It's for you to ask the Lord what He wants you to do. Well, today, the letters that I'm going to read, I don't think are really controversial at all. They're just simple testimonies from two people who wanted to share what the Lord had done for them. This first one amazed me. I've never had a letter like this before. She said, "I know you won't be reading my letter, so it's written to whoever is in charge." Well, as Alma Griffin wrote in the margin, wrong. Alma is in charge of handling most of my mail, but she knows that I read the letters, and she sends them on to me, sometimes with her little marginal notes, which I appreciate. This person says, "I'm going back a few weeks to your broadcasts on contentment. I was greatly helped by these talks. As a result of this and other programs..." Now, can you guess what she did? I would never in a million years have thought that a program on contentment would have this result, but she said, "As a result of this program and other programs, I quit smoking." To me, this was an impossibility, as no other reason did it for me. My mother, who is a Christian, described people that smoke as being nervous. I guess that made sense to me after I heard your talks on contentment, as contentment could be the opposite of being nervous, if you know what I mean. But I hadn't even thought it out that way if I wouldn't have heard your broadcasts. Thank you very much. I hope I can continue this way. It's been 2 weeks now. And may God help you. It's been much more than 2 weeks since you wrote this letter. But I do appreciate your letter so much, Helen, and I trust that the Lord will enable you to keep off those dreadful cigarettes that don't do anybody any good. I think of my dear spiritual mother, Miss Cunningham. She was my house mother when I was a student at Wheaton College, and her testimony of how she came to the Lord was similar to this one, a little bit more dramatic in that she did not believe there was a God. And when she met people who did believe there was a God, and they seemed to her like very nice people and even intelligent people, she prayed the first prayer in her life. She said, "Lord, if you exist, make me not even want a cigarette tomorrow morning after breakfast," because the cigarette after breakfast to her was the most important cigarette of the whole day. And she told this story in her wonderful Georgia accent. And she was sitting at the table at what they used to call a house party, a sort of a weekend conference in a very beautiful mansion, where there were maybe 15 or 20 people gathered to study the Word of God. And these very attractive, nice, polite, cultured, intelligent people were sitting around the table, the breakfast table. And she said, "We'd finished eating breakfast, and all of a sudden, I realized," in that Georgia accent, she said, "I realized that I had had my coffee, and I did not even want a cigarette. And I was simply terrified. And I rushed from the table. I had to excuse myself. And I went to my room and I dropped on my knees and I waited to be struck with lightning." Well, she really did believe that God had answered her prayer. God existed. And the overwhelming sense that she was a sinner, not because she smoked a cigarette, of course. She knew she was a sinner. And she expected that the only justice for a sinner is to be struck dead. And so she expected God to strike her with a bolt of lightning there on her knees by the bed in her bedroom. Well, God bless you for giving up the one thing that may have stood between you and contentment, that miserable cigarette. And please don't go away from here saying Elizabeth Elliot's always preaching about things like smoking and drinking. She's not. I don't think you've ever heard me mention them before. This is the testimony of a listener. Now, here's another one from a middle-aged man who calls me his adopted radio mother. Now, that thrilled me. If you're listening today there in Pennsylvania, I want to give you a special thank you, sir, for writing this letter. "Enjoyed so much your wisdom. I'm an orphan, having lost both my father and mother. Mother died when I was 5 years old. Father was drunk and never home, never close to God. He died of lung cancer from smoking. But before he died, he remarried my stepmother, an evil, greedy woman who both abused us and starved us, my three sisters and two brothers. For many years, I felt bitterness and anger and resentment in my heart toward this stepmother. I left home, served 13 years in the U.S. Army, traveled all over the world, went through a war, and still carried this hatred and anger with me for 43 years. Today, after listening to your program, Gateway to Joy, I ask Jesus to forgive me, to cleanse my heart from this terrible grudge, this terrible sin. I feel now that he has. For the first time, I feel a burden off my heart, and praise God for his forgiveness and his grace. You are my adopted radio mother. Your voice speaks to me from God, and I praise him and you for your precious words of life. Please keep pressing on. The devil would like to silence all our voices. If the demons out there in that cold secular world slander you or tell you to shut up, please pay it no mind. It's the devil trying to knock you out and get your God-given wisdom off the air." And this dear man sends me a poem. I won't read the poem for you, but I do thank you and thank all of you who write to us to tell us that Gateway to Joy comes into your house or your office or your tractor or your car, and it's helpful to you, and we need to know how and why it's helpful. If there's anyone listening who is bearing bitterness and a grudge towards somebody who abused you in the past, as was this gentleman who has written, take his word for it. The burdens roll off when you bring them to the cross. If you ask Jesus to remove that bitterness, he'll do it. I've had that same experience myself. He is in the business of repair and maintenance. He wants to save you from your sins, not just from the penalty of your sins. Not merely a free ticket to heaven, But will you give him your heart and your life? This man said that for all those years going through the war, for 43 years, he had borne a grudge against that drunken father and that stepmother. Well, I don't know who it is that may be listening to me today that has been carrying a grudge because somebody has done something unforgivable. Humanly speaking, it's unforgivable. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, we're making a bargain with God that we will receive the measure of forgiveness from Him that we have meted out to that person who has abused us, to that man who walked out on us, to that woman who betrayed us, to that person who absconded with your money, to that brother or that sister who has not been speaking to you for years, to that woman in the church who invaded your rights, walked all over your territory. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. How do we forgive those? Is that the measure of forgiveness that you want to receive from God? May the Lord help you today to let go of your bitterness. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Take His burden. His burden is light. And the Lord bless you.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.